Well, tonight, you know, so often in my life, you know, I have a phrase that I repeat often. My closest friends hear it all the time. God's been good to Bill. That's my swan song. I don't just say that callously. I say that because God really has been good to me. Through my 62 years now, God's been good to me. He's seen me through so many situations, circumstances, and scenario, and every time the Lord's been good to me. And even when people have not always been good, I've gone through things just like everybody does, just like you go through things, we go through things, and people aren't always kind. But in the midst of even sometimes when people weren't good to me, I'll tell you what, God was always good to me. God has never failed one time to be, I wish I had an amen in this place. Can anybody testify? It doesn't matter what people have done or said, God has always been good to you. Yeah, He is a good God, always doing good things. And I tell you, even in the midst of hurt and pain, we especially need to be able to look at the Lord, find His presence, find His goodness, because I'll guarantee you, He is 100% all of the time being good to you. And no matter what it looks like, no matter what you're going through, God is good to you. So I have God good on my, it's on my car, my golf ball says God's been good to Bill. Above the pantry in my house, it says God's been good to Bill. Looking anything, it says God's been good to Bill. And but he really has, and I'm grateful for that. And He's enabled me through His goodness to overcome every negative situation, every negative circumstance, and I praise Him for it. And I know that you do in your life. If you have your Bible tonight, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The title of tonight's message, When People Hurt You. I'm going to say that again. I got one amen and a low grunt. The title of tonight's message is When People Hurt You. And sometimes we do all right until somebody hurts us. Sometimes we can walk with Christ just fine until somebody goes to meddling with us. But then when people do something, I tell you, it can hurt. And when people who are your friends do things to hurt you, oh, that can hurt. And when you feel like you're in a position where you don't have a lot of friends, that can hurt. And I don't know where you're coming from tonight. You may have spent today alone. Maybe you wanted to eat in the presence of people, company, and friends, and maybe nobody invited you over. I don't know your situation. But I can tell you this, God is always good. And sometimes when people who are close to us do things, it can hurt. It can really hurt. When friends do things, it can hurt. And the old adage is true that hurting people hurt people. They do. Hurting people hurt others. And oftentimes, you have to look past hurting people as you grow and as you mature and as the love of the Lord heals you. You're able to look past the actions of others because you'll see that many times the same person who hurt you, they were hurt themselves. They didn't know no better. They were hurting themselves. What's my title tonight? You help me. When People Hurt You. Yeah, When People Hurt You. What chapter did I tell you to turn to? 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to pick up here at verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9. Paul here is at the end of his life, and he knows it. In the preceding verses, he says, My life is being poured out as a drink offering, which is the very last offering that is in Israel's history and their offerings and their list of offerings. The very last one is the drink offering. And Paul says, my life's being poured out as a drink offering. He knows the end of his life is near as we prepare to read verse 9. And, you know, he's many, many times he's been in danger. Many, many times it looked like his life would end. But God delivered him. From the jaws of the lion, God delivered him from people who hurt him. But here, this great man of faith, towards the end, in his final words to Timothy, to his son Timothy, he says some very dramatic things, and I want to use this as a main text tonight as we discuss this subject, when people hurt you. So we're in 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 9. Make every effort, Paul says, to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. And only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. And when you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on your guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not count against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. And the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. When people hurt you, it can be, a pain that cannot be seen on the outside of your face. Sometimes you can see it on people's faces, but sometimes people sitting right next to you can be hurting and you not even know it. When people hurt you, it can go down to the heart. And I don't know anybody who just wants to be hurt, who just likes to be hurt. Is there anybody out there you just want somebody to hurt you? But the real question is, what do we do and what is our response as believers when people hurt us? Because inevitably, listen now, we live in a fallen world, and if it hasn't happened to you, that's going to happen. I won't get an amen. I see that. I said, but if it hadn't happened to you, that's going to happen. Somebody's going to forget your birthday. Somebody's going to forget your name. Somebody's going to forget to say thank you. Somebody's going to cut you off in traffic. Somebody's going to do something hurtful. And oftentimes believers are not expecting it, and so they're not prepared to deal with it. But God's got the answer when people hurt you. Now, when we look down at our list, Paul lists by name. He's not speaking generalities. He lists by names things that people have done. Now, we can take out his fellow laborers. Like, for example, he mentions down in verse 10, he mentions Crescens. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Well, that just meant Crescens was being faithful. He was going to where Paul had sent him. Galatia, Paul had visited on each of his three missionary journeys, and all of the churches and ministry there, and Crescens had gone in obedience to Paul to Galatia. He mentions right after that Titus has gone to Dalmatia. There was nobody closer to Paul than Titus, other than Timothy, who he's writing to here. And he was very, very close. But Paul had sent Titus to Dalmatia, and he says, Luke is with me. We know Luke and Paul were very close. And pick up John Mark. So we'll come back. But he says, Tychicus, down at verse 12, I sent to Ephesus. So there are a number of people who are out doing ministry related things who Paul would have loved to have by his side. He's going through a tough time here. Here at the end of his life, he's serving hard time in prison. You know, you go to the end of Acts 28. And Paul's under house arrest. He is a prisoner there, but it was light duty time. He had an armed guard, but he was able to entertain company, have people come and go. He was able to preach and teach. It was house arrest in Acts 28, not here in 2 Timothy. This is no house arrest. He's in that Maritime prison, which was in Rome. That prison was known. That was hard time, hard labor. The prison itself was built in the middle of a sewer system that ran underneath Rome, that ran underground. And they put the prison down there in the midst of the sludge in the sewer. And so even the environment smelled, and even it was just tough. It was tough, hard time where he was. And here, doing hard time, he's at the end of his life. And you can tell he wants Tychicus. He wishes Tychicus could be there. He wishes Timothy could be there. He wishes, that Crescens could be there. He wishes That Tychicus, I said that. The other one's Titus. He wants, you can tell these folks are ministering out of their faithfulness. But he mentioned several other people, and you can only imagine how what they did must have hurt. For example, he mentions in verse 9, make every effort to come to me soon, he says to Timothy, verse 10, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Wow, that must have hurt. You know, Paul spent his life on the edge. He lived his life under the threat of death every day, virtually. There were constant death threats and dangers, and he constantly risked his life for other people. And I'm sure that in his hour of need, he probably felt like, man, I just want somebody to come and stand with me. And you ever been in trouble and you just want somebody to be there with you? Yeah. And the person may not be able to do anything, but somehow when you got company, it feels a whole lot more comforting. Yeah. Oftentimes when people get down to the end of their lives, they want people to be with them. They want company. I've been with people many, many times toward the end of their lives, and they want people to be with them. They want some, there may not be anything you can do or say, but they want you to, they just your presence. That people want the presence of someone. And here, Paul, at the end of his life, you can tell he wants fellowship. He wants people to be with him. But Demas, for whatever the reason, Demas deserted him and left him. He pulled back. And that had to hurt. He goes down in his dissertation, skipping past Crescens, who's ministering, Titus, who's ministering. Luke is with him. He says, only Luke is with me. He says, pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for service. That's an interesting scripture. Pick up Mark, verse 11. Can you see that in your Bible? Go with me back to Acts 15. Acts chapter 15 real quick. When people hurt you, that's the name of this sermon. When people hurt you. Somebody says, I know, preacher, I know what you're going to do. You're going to tell us to walk in love when people hurt you. Yeah, I am going to say that, but I'm going to say a lot more to you than walk in love. The most important thing you can do is walk in love, because love will guard you, will guard your heart, will guard your mind. It won't let your heart and mind get infected. It won't let your heart and mind get tainted. It won't let your heart and mind get poisoned. Love will inoculate you. But on the other hand, if you have let that poison in, that hurt, that unforgiveness, that pain, love will get that out of you. And then love will heal your broken heart. I wish I had an amen. I said, love will heal you. The Bible says the love of God never fails. Never fails. Never, 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 never fails. God's love never fails. Aren't you glad? Oh, aren't you glad? And here in Acts 15, down toward the end, look at 37. Or we'll start at 36 and just read to the end. 15:36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. And Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Oh my! Here Paul and Barnabas fall into a bitter disagreement over John Mark, the brother that Paul just mentioned at the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We just saw Paul say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, go pick up John Mark, I need him. Go get John Mark. But here in Acts 15, he's not asking for John Mark. In fact, he's rejecting John. He's saying John Mark's not going on this trip. Why did he say that? Well, over in Acts 13:5, it says during the first missionary journey, John Mark was their helper. But then when you slip down to Acts 13:13, it says that John Mark left. He went away. The Bible doesn't tell us there why he left, but he got up and left. Now we can read between the lines, at least I can, and deduce, at least for me, what I think happened with John Mark, because 13:5 says he was with them. He was their helper. First missionary trip. 13:13 says he left right in the middle. But they stayed out there some 2 years on that first missionary journey. And so John Mark left right in the middle of that. But over in Acts 14, they tried to stone Paul early in Acts 14 and didn't stone him. But then later in Acts 14, they stoned him and left him for dead. What are you saying, preacher? It must have been tough sledding out there sometimes. When your life is under the threat of death and danger and people are trying to stone you, and everywhere you go, somebody's tracking you down, or they're hiding in a crowd and somebody's waiting just to get you. Even when you're the helper, they're going to get you too. And under that kind of daily pressure, John Mark must have cracked and he left. Acts 13:13. And when they're getting ready to go out on the second missionary journey, Barnabas is saying, let's take John Mark again. And Paul has said, that brother ain't going. Not this trip. He ain't going. And you can understand both sides of this equation. I teach both sides of this when I, you know, in teaching the book. You can understand why Paul didn't want him to go. On the one hand, his life is on the line every day. He's got to have people he can count on. And you can understand Barnabas's position. Hey, this is my point. People need a second chance. And I want to make this point to you, that when people hurt you, you need to remember this. People need a second chance. And sometimes you're not always aware of what people are going through. And I'm not justifying what somebody did to hurt you. I'm not justifying that. Because you tell me what it is, and I'm probably going to say you're right about that. But you're not right to stay in pain. You're not right to stay in unforgiveness. You're not right to stay immobilized by it. Yeah, because the love of God will unchain you. The love of God will free you. The love of God will inoculate you, and the love of God will heal you. I wish I had an amen in here. When people hurt you, and so when we read that Barnabas was defending John Mark, saying, "Let's let him go. Let's let him, give him another chance. Give him another chance." Is there anybody in here you ever needed a second chance? Is there anybody here you needed a second chance? Yeah, that's all of us. And sometimes the thing that we have to remember when people hurt us is that people need a second chance. I know one time the Lord told me someone hurt me, and I remember the Lord told me this. He said, have compassion. Because if you had been through what that person had been through, you may not have responded as well. Oh, yeah. And I was able to see that person differently, see that person with love and compassion, not just in the light of what they did. Sometimes that's the only thing we look at. See what you did? See what you did? You know who does that? Satan. See what you did? See what you did? He's the accuser of the brethren. And you and I aren't, we ought not act like that, because God hadn't called us to act like that. The Christian army is the only army in the world that killed their wounded. We say to Christians, are you hurt? Yes, I'm hurting. Bam. And we say, I put him out of his misery. Praise God. No. Galatians 6 said, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness and consider yourself, lest you too to be tempted. A brother won't get an amen teaching like that. But we are to restore. We are to rebuild. We are to remember people need another chance. And so it doesn't justify what that person did to you. Somebody hurt you, it doesn't justify that. But just like you needed another chance, people need another chance. John Mark just needed another chance. Yeah, he messed up. He left. He blew it. In the middle of their campaign, he got up and left. And that hurt Paul. And when it was time for the second missionary journey, Paul said, you are a no-go. And so Barnabas sailed off with John Mark. You know, we need some more Barnabases in the body of Christ. We all need somebody who will believe in us when the chips are down. Yeah. We all need somebody who will believe in us even when we've made a mistake. Yeah. Everybody needs that. But just as badly as we need that, here's what we need. We need to be a person who believes in somebody when the chips are down for them. I lost all my amens. We need to be a person who will believe and encourage and uplift somebody when they're hurting. Yeah. and when they've gone through adversity, and when they're tempted to throw in the towel, and when they want to quit, and when they want to back up on their faith, we need some Barnabases and some sister Barnabases who will get in there and say, come on, you can make it. Come on, you can do it. Come on, it's going to be all right. I saw somebody the other day at the store Saturday shopping for Sunday dinner, and they hadn't been to church in a long time. And they came up behind me and said, hey, Pastor Bill. And they just had the most forlorn look on their face. And they told me about some things they've been through. And I just felt such compassion for the Lord. And I told the person, hey, come on back to church. And they said, no, I haven't been there in a long time. And I said, come on, it's Easter. And they said, well, I'll think about it. We talked for a while. I pray they came, because I know Pastor's message, the Holy Ghost would have encouraged that person. When people hurt you, I know Paul was hurt over that, but Barnabas gave him a second chance. Go back with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 again. Only Luke is with me, Paul wrote, at the end of his life. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for service. Isn't that powerful? All he needed was a second chance. But Paul writes at the end of his life, that brother's useful. Go get him. And because he was encouraged, we have the Gospel of Mark today. He went on to write the Gospel of Mark. All he needed was a little encouragement. Who knows what gift is in the person that you're around that you could encourage? Oh, man, if you'll encourage that person, who knows what gift of the Lord could come out of them? Yeah. When people hurt you, he mentions Mark. He mentions Demas. He goes on down there, and when you get to verse 14, he says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his... Alexander must have been a bad dude, because Paul writes, he goes to verse 15, still talking about Alexander. Be on your guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. Isn't that something? Alexander the coppersmith. And you notice, but Paul said this. You notice about Alexander the coppersmith? Paul didn't say, I hope he rots in hell. He didn't say that. He said the Lord's going to repay him. You know what he was saying? I'm going to leave that in the Lord's hand. I'm not going to retaliate against Alexander the coppersmith. The Lord will repay. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And there are some things we ought to just leave in the hands of the Lord. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. We would find God more willing to fight our battles if we weren't trying to repay people for what they did. Never make the mistake, the foolish mistake of trying to repay someone for something they did to you, unless you're going to repay them in kindness after they did you wrong. A brother won't get an amen. I lost all my amens. If you're going to repay somebody, you ought to repay them in kindness. Do them right. Don't do them wrong. Don't give somebody that power over you. The Bible says overcome evil with good. Don't be overcome by evil. And just because somebody did something that hurts you doesn't mean that you have to retaliate and do something that hurts them. So often somebody looks at us angry, we don't look angry back at you. You talking mean, I talk mean too. You spit on me, I spit on you. You cut me off, I cut you off. Praise the Lord. Let me turn up my Christian song. No. No, listen. We ought to retaliate with kindness. Overcome evil with good. Sometimes people are just hurting, and we have to remember that. Hurting people hurt others. We have to have compassion. And sometimes people need another chance. They made a mistake, and we can't just look at them forever in the light of the mistake that they made. But when we forgive, we have to forgive like Jesus forgives. Micah 7:19 says he throws our sins into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. And God calls you and I to forgive that same way. And if God's not trying to fish in the ocean to dig up people's sins, we shouldn't be over there. What are you doing? Well, God threw that person's sins down here in the deep ocean. I'm trying to dig them up. Doesn't sound right, does it? Yeah. Mark needed a second chance, and we need to give people a second chance. Alexander the coppersmith, Paul just left that one to the Lord. He said, I'm going to let the Lord handle it. Look at Romans 12 real quick. Look at Romans 12. Never, never, never make the you'll make a huge mistake. Oh, you'll make a huge mistake. Oh, you'll regret it. Oh, you'll regret it. Never repay evil with evil. Never get that, what I call the get back spirit. You did this to me, I'm going to do this to you. The reason I can say that my life motto, God's been good to Bill, because the Lord has showed me, and I know I'm not perfect, but the Lord has shown me, listen, when someone hurts you, reach out in love, reach back in kindness. And every time I've done that, God has overflowed his goodness to me. Every time I've done that, the Lord has poured out his goodness to me until I'm left just saying, God's been good to Bill. Yeah. When people hurt you, where'd I tell you to go? Romans 12. Look at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. I think we read this sometimes. Curse those who persecute you. Curse and do not bless. Okay, I won't get a laugh. I won't get an amen. Okay, let me go back to the scripture then. I'll just read the scripture correctly. Verse 14, Romans 12, 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Now look at verse 17. Never. When? Never. When? Help me now. When? Never. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And I notice that Proverbs 16:7 said this, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Yeah. And so for Alexander the coppersmith, Paul said, I'm going to let the Lord fight my battle there. Let the Lord repay. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be against him. I'm going to let the Lord do it. I'm going to let the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's not my place. I'm not going to get off into unforgiveness like that. He left that with God about Alexander the coppersmith. Mark, man, Mark just needed a second chance. Demas, you just have to have compassion on people. They make mistakes. Then at verse 16, Paul says this, at my first defense, now he's before Caesar's tribunal at his first defense. He says this, at my first defense, no one supported me. Isn't that interesting? Let me tell you, that had to hurt. When Paul writes at my first defense, no, he had to be thinking, I've risked my life every day for countless people. I've risked my life in the morning. They let me down the wall in a basket. I've escaped by ship. I've escaped on foot. They stoned me and left me for dead. I went to the next town, turned right around, came back and preached there again. He had to be thinking, I've been snake bit, shipwrecked, in danger of robbers, and did it all for people, all for the sake of the cross, all for people. And when it was time, when I needed someone just to stand up and say, I know him and he's a good man, I can vouch for him, nobody came. He was counting. I'm sure he was looking. I'm sure he was expecting. Well, so-and-so will be there for me. I'm sure he was thinking the night before, well, when I get down to the court, so-and-so will be there. I'm sure he was thinking, oh, so-and-so, they'll probably have to have a line. They'll probably have to put him in single file to hear all the witnesses who are going to testify for me. But when he got to court, nobody came. And that had to hurt. People are real, and people have real feelings and emotions. And it hurts when people do you like that. And when people are supposed to be there for you, and then they don't show up, and they leave you by yourself. And Paul wrote, at my first defense, no one supported me. All deserted me. Then look what he said. May it not be counted against him. That's how you can tell his heart is in the right place. Don't count it against him, Lord. Don't count it against him. Don't hold it against them. Should they have been there? Yes. Did it hurt? Yes. Lord, don't count it against them. Don't count it against them. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like when Stephen was being stoned over in Acts 7, verse 60. You remember that? Stephen was being stoned. And you remember what he said? He said, Lord Jesus, don't hold this sin against them. They were stoning the man. Let me repeat. They were not asking for forgiveness. Let me repeat. Not a one of them that stoned him had asked for forgiveness. It would have been all right if they had hit him with the first rock and said, oh my God, what did we do? Brother, please forgive us. And then he said, Lord, that's not what happened. They were still hitting him. They were still pelting him. They were still hitting him. And he was saying, Lord, forgive him. Don't hold this against him. You know where he got that from? Because the love of God had been shed abroad in his heart. Just like Romans says, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart and my heart. And Christ has given us the capacity to love like that. Our showing love to our neighbor is not dependent upon our own human natural love. God has imparted the love of God down on the inside of us. Hey, and if we would stir it up, it'll come out. Glory be to God. In Acts 7:60, Stephen said the same thing Jesus said in Luke 23:34. Luke 23:34, Jesus said, Father, don't hold it against him. They were gambling over his clothes, crucified him, mocking him. The creation was mocking the creator. And he said, Father, don't hold it against him. Forgive him. And then Stephen, infused with that same kind of love, in Acts 7:60 said, Lord, don't hold this sin against him. And here in 2 Timothy 4, Paul is saying, nobody came with me. Nobody stood with me. May it not be counted against him. Joseph said in Genesis 50, verse 20, what you did, you intended to harm me, but God, he turned it around for my good. I'm not mad at you, brothers. You did me wrong, but I'm not mad at you. God has seen me through. And he fed all of his brothers at the table. 75 people he fed at his table. I don't know what's gone wrong, and I don't know what someone has done to you, my brother and sister. But as I close tonight, I remind you that Paul went on to say at the end, I was rescued out of the lion's mouth, and the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. And I know this, if you won't hold it against people, if you'll have compassion on people, even though what they did was wrong, if you'll learn to see them through the blood of Christ, if you'll learn to just realize that if you were given those circumstances, maybe you wouldn't respond as well. If you learn that people need a second chance, people aren't perfect, people need a second chance. If you'll learn to just never pay back evil for evil and just treat people with kindness, even if they don't do you right, let the Lord fight your battle. Let the Lord, you walk in love toward people. You be kind and gracious to people. And if you'll learn to forgive, in spite of how people hurt you, God will deliver you from the jaws of the lion every time. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored to share what you laid upon our heart and we asked you about tonight. And so we know that you are at work mightily through your word. You're at work mightily through your spirit to touch hearts tonight, to help people, to strengthen, to heal, to forgive, to restore, to rebuild. And however you may be hurting tonight, whether listening through some other venue or here in this live service, I want you to know that God loves you. God cares for you. God has thrown all of your sins, Micah 7:19, into the deepest ocean, never to remember them anymore. And he just wants you to turn to him, to be honest, to ask for forgiveness. And maybe you're here tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed. And if you've never received Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. Ushers, help me. Every other head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you're here in the auditorium and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know what would happen to you tonight if you died, if you left this world, where would you go? What would happen? I don't know. If that's your answer, raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Or if you're here and you're a Christian, but you're not walking in fellowship with God, and you know it, God knows it, you know you're not walking like you should, don't be embarrassed. God loves you. Don't be embarrassed, but be humble and honest. Acknowledge him and admit it. Oh, and let him forgive you, restore you. If you're here tonight, you need restoration. Lift your hand and let me pray for you. Anybody here like that? Don't want to miss from it. I see your hand. Okay. I see your hand. Praise God. God loves you. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. You're not among malicious, evil, mad people looking at you. No. You're among people who love you, people who have been healed, saved, redeemed, and forgiven. You're in the audience of forgiven people. And I want to do just what I said. And if you didn't raise your hand, but you should have raised your hand, I want to pray for you. And I want you just to boldly stand up on your feet right now. Just stand up on your feet right now. If you responded to any of those invitations I gave, or you should have, you lifted your hand, or you should have lifted your hand, let me pray for you. Come on down here. God is real. God loves you. His presence is all over you. He's talking to you right now. And if you'll listen to him, he's going to help you. He's going to help you. Stay right here. He's going to help you. Praise God. Come on. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. God loves you. God's just trying to help you. Oh, God wants to see you through tonight. And if you'll trust him, let him help you. Oh, you feel his presence wooing you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the mighty Holy Spirit. God bless you. Oh, but God wants to help you tonight. Come on. Come on. You know you're not right. Come on. Let him help you. Let him. He loves you. He's not condemning you. He loves you. He loves you. He wants to make it right. He wants to make it right. Come on and let him help you. Come on and let him help you. Don't just sit there and you know the Spirit of God, he's moving on you. He's moving on you. He's knocking at the door of your heart. And if you'll be honest with him, be humble. Oh, and just admit it and come on. There's still room at the altar for you. You want to come? You want to come? Oh, God wants to help you in this place tonight. God wants to help you. There's still somebody in here. God wants to help you. And if you'll let him help you, come on down here and let God help you. Oh, let him touch you tonight. He wants to touch you and show you his love. He wants to restore you. Oh, praise God. God's going to help you. Come on down. Come on down here. We're waiting for you. Come on down here. The Lord's waiting for you. If you'll come on down here and let him help you. There's somebody else in here and the Lord wants to help you. Here at the altar, just lift one hand to God. You're just saying, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. Listen, say this prayer with me out loud. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. And I give you my heart. And Father, restore me, heal me, strengthen me, and make me the person you want me to be. I accept your forgiveness, and I'll follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I want you guys to turn this way. This is Reverend Paul, and he's our prayer minister tonight. And if you would go with him, he's going to give you some free materials, answer your questions one by one, and make sure you got everything you came for. Can we give our church family, these are our family members, give them all a big hand. Give them a big hand. She's coming. Give them all a big hand. Praise God. Give them all a big hand. Give them another big hand. Come on, let's encourage them tonight. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord is good. Amen. Oh, he's so good. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. Praise God. I don't know what you need this week, my friend, but I do know that God is with you. And I don't know how people may try to hurt you. For some, he's trying to inoculate you before. And I don't know, you may have already been hurt by somebody. Our prayer team are coming forward right now. And these anointed men and women are here to pray with you. If you're a lady, come to the ladies. If you're a guy, come to the guys. That's all we ask. They are here to pray with you. And these are anointed people, prayer warriors here. And so as we conclude the service, then we want you to come on down and receive prayer, okay? Now, if you're a first-time guest, we have several gift items for you. And I know someone came who was the first-time guest, and one of their friends can go out to the north lobby. Is that where they're getting it from, in the north lobby? They already got it. Okay, all right. So we have a gift, wonderful gift for you. We want to thank you for coming. Let's remember to keep Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, the Hagen family, Craig and Denise, their families. Let's remember to keep them all in our prayers. All right, all hearts and minds clear then. Anything else I need to remember? I don't think so. They're talking to each other. Okay. All right. So are we good? Yeah. Okay. All right. So then you are dismissed. Thank you for coming here again. Happy Resurrection Day. We love you.